feeding you the facts. Facts. News Talk 790 KNST.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Jacobs on the Law here on News Talk 790 KNST. I'm your host, Henry Jacobs, and we are back to explore the wonders and mysteries and secrets of the law here in Arizona. I'm an attorney here in practice in Tucson, Arizona, and I'll be presenting this show every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock right here on this radio station. And we are taking your calls right now, as always, and our number here in the studio is 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. So give us a call if you have a question about the law here in the state of Arizona. I was talking a little bit about the crime of driving under the influence, and I want to take a couple of minutes with this. I was speaking with a judge a couple of weeks ago, and it was her opinion that she voiced, and I heartily agree that one of the biggest problems that we have with this crime of driving under the influence is a lack of public education about what the crime is and what the penalties are. So I'd like to talk about that for just a couple of minutes. Driving under the influence in the state of Arizona is driving a car, but it's beyond that. It's something called actual physical control, which can be sitting in a parking lot with the keys in the ignition, folks, and you need to be aware of that. The other aspect of it is under the influence, and there are really two definitions of that here in Arizona. One is impaired to the slightest degree, and the other is with a blood alcohol level above a certain amount. In Arizona, it is a 0.08%. And for you CDL truck drivers, it is a 0.04% if you're driving your truck. Now, without getting into how many drinks that takes, because that does vary, let's go back to that impaired to the slightest degree. Impaired to the slightest degree, they used to teach prosecutors to take a big piece of paper and show the jury and tear off a little tiny corner of that piece of paper, and that's the slightest degree. So if that alcohol that you had to drink or that prescription medicine that you had to take impaired you to the slightest degree, you're guilty of this crime. Now, a lot of folks don't know that. The other aspect of this that people really have troubles understanding is how severe the penalties are. And it's not that it's one big penalty, it's that it's a lot of penalties. They just come together in sort of an endless stream. What happens is a person found guilty or pleading guilty to this offense has to pay fines, a minimum of about $1,500 by the time all the assessments are done. But they have to do other things as well. There's 1 to 10 days in jail with jail fees that you have to pay. And there's also alcohol counseling, which is very expensive, $50 for the screening, and you have to pay for each class that you have to go to. You have to attend the Mothers Against Drunk Driving Impact Panel, which is $35. They just raised that $10. And to crown all, you have a ignition interlock device. Now, folks, this is that little thing. It's about the size of a cigarette pack, and it installs on your vehicle, and you have to blow into it to start the vehicle and at various times thereafter. And this thing is phenomenally expensive, and I didn't know. I was at a bar convention at one point, and there was a vendor who was one of the folks approved to install these on cars. And I asked him how much it was, and he said, oh, it's $200. But when we went through and asked how much it really was to install, to maintain, to uninstall, the answer was closer to $1,300 over the year that you have to have this thing on any vehicle that you operate. So I don't think that most folks are aware that the penalty for DUI is as heavy as it is, and it can have very profound effects on a person's life. Now, if you have questions about DUI or anything else, give us a call here in the studio at News Talk 790 KNST. Our number here is 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. One of the questions that I get very often with respect to DUI is, what should I do, Henry, if I have had a drink and I'm driving my car and I see those flashing lights in my rearview mirror. What should I do? And the answer is, absolutely, number one is to get your vehicle safely stopped. You need to go ahead and take care of that. And then you need to go ahead and speak with the officer. He's probably going to, he or she, probably going to have a reason that they stopped you. And you want to present your driver's license and your proof of registration. It's good to have those handy in your vehicle at all times so they're easy for you to find. And when you present those, you may be asked certain questions. Now, you do need to be aware that you do not have an obligation to answer any particular question a police officer may ask you other than your identification, which you present on your driver's license. So if there are questions about have you been drinking or how much have you had to drink or things of this nature, you need to be aware, a little Supreme Court decision, State v. Miranda, that you do not have to answer such questions if you do not wish to. You can say you can identify the fact that you have an attorney. That will not prevent an investigation, but it will go ahead and stop the questions. Now, the officers may also wish you to participate in certain of these field sobriety tests, and these are extremely common. The thing that most people are not aware is that those field sobriety tests are voluntary. You do not have to do those if you do not wish to. Some folks think, oh, I have to have an injury in order to not do those. That's not correct. You don't have to do those if you don't want to. However, there is a test that you must participate in according to the law, and that is a chemical test that's going to be of your blood or of your breath, and you do need to participate in that. And in Pima County here, a lot of police officers are drawing blood in the field, and we are going to be talking about that because I do have a lot to say about that particular topic. We do have Ron who's called in with a question on this topic. Ron, you're on 790 KNST.
Yes, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I have a question. I know part of the answer, but I would like to see if you could give me a fuller answer. I have a friend who has gotten multiple DUIs. He doesn't drink. But why do the police give out two DUIs on a ticket per incident?
Let me see if I can clear a little something
up. Let me explain. One's for alcohol and one's for drug.
Okay.
Is it to ensure the viability and of the tickets and the fines?
Ron, let me go ahead and answer your question. The answer is that the officer may cite two different infractions of the law on the same occasion. Now we do have individuals, Ron, who are in our community, and they do choose to use substances such as marijuana. And marijuana is a substance that is smoked, and so they use the ashtray of their car. Now look, if you're going to use an illegal substance, does it make a lot of sense to use the ashtray of your car? And yet I can't tell you how many police reports I've seen where this was the case. An individual may also have consumed alcohol at that time. A policeman stopping such an individual may very well write up a citation that said he broke the law in respect that he was driving under the influence of alcohol and also that he was driving with drugs in his system. And let me just comment on that because it's a wide misconception. If you use an unlawful drug of any type, be it cocaine or marijuana or methamphetamine or any such drug that is an illegal drug, any amount of that drug or its metabolite will result in a DUI conviction. So these are terribly dangerous things to do from the standpoint of your DUI. I'm told by the chemistry folks that if you smoke a marijuana cigarette, your DUI for up to 3 weeks, and understand you're not impaired at all, but you're driving around, you smoke that marijuana cigarette, you're driving around, and you're under the influence. It's amazing. So, folks, we're going to go out to break here for a couple of minutes. Give us a call here in the studio at News Talk 790 KNST at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678 with your questions, and we'll see you right back after the break.